Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, the Steelers announcing their throwback uniforms. Not a shocker, it had leaked earlier this week, so I think we all knew what was coming, but they did announce them. We'll talk about that today. Also want to talk about, now that we're 5 or 6 days into OTAs, there's not a ton of big news coming out, right? All the big questions that we asked about this football team going into OTAs, we haven't gotten a ton of answers to those questions, right? You know, where is Terrell Edmonds lining up, and, you know, who's playing free safety, and, you know, all of those questions about the defense. We haven't gotten solid answers to those just yet. Again, it's still early days, but what we have heard now is a couple injuries piling up, and the Steelers today having two players go down with likely season-ending injuries, and I want to talk about that today. Before we do that, let's start with some Steelers news and notes. Bob Laboria on Steelers.com did a FAQ with some fans and was asked about Eli Rogers and how much he could contribute in 2018 and who would step up in his place if he couldn't. And here's what Bob Laboria said, quote, Rogers is still rehabbing the ACL injury that required surgery in January, and he visited the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex during the first week of OTAs to watch some on-field drills in street clothes. So interesting to hear that Eli Rogers is at OTAs, not in an official capacity, right? Because he can't be. He's not a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So going there as a visitor, but still being around the team, wanting to be around OTAs as he rehabs that injury. Look, it's a tough injury to come back from, right? We've talked about this. It's usually a 9-month to a year-long process to recover from an ACL. But Mike Tomlin sounded confident that he would be a big factor this season for the football team, and Eli Rogers being around OTAs shows that he wants to be a big factor. And there's a big hole to fill at wide receiver with Martavis going out, and if Eli were to go out, I mean, again, you know, we're losing two wide receivers that were, while they weren't significant contributors a year ago, they certainly contributed enough that it leaves holes to fill at wide receiver. So I'd love to see Eli be able to come back. Again, the prognosis is, you know, if it's 9 months from the mid-January that ACL tear happened, well, you know, you're looking at into September before he's coming back. And so there's going to be real questions about whether or not he's going to be ready early in the season. But we shall see. I think it's encouraging that he's around OTAs and certainly wants to be a part of this football team. The Steelers announced today their 1970s throwback uniforms that they'll wear this season. They are celebrating 40 years since 1978, and it was Art Rooney and Juju on hand at a press conference to announce the uniforms. It sounded like when Art Rooney was talking about this, that they're not just celebrating 40 years since 78, which would be this year. They're going to be celebrating 40 years since 1979 next season. And so it sounds like these 70s uniforms are not just going to be a one-and-done uniform, that they plan on wearing them for the next two seasons. Now, whether or not that is the case, I think it's largely going to depend on the fan base's reaction to this and whether or not these jerseys sell, right? The idea of throwbacks is to get us fans to buy them. And if judging by what I read on Twitter and saw online today, Steeler fans are not pleased with these 70s throwbacks. And I get it, right? It's not a huge change. You know, if you have a Steeler uniform today, if you have a Steelers jersey today, what you're buying, if you buy the throwback, is just a block number change, right? That's it. Because what the Steelers changed from the 1970s uniforms, when they made the switch in, what was it, 1997, 98, like that, was to go from block numbers to rounded numbers and add a Steelers patch on the front, and that's it, right? That was the change. So, yeah, I mean, these uniforms are not that different. I will grant you that. Now, look, for me, it is nostalgic a little bit because I grew up on this. This was how I learned Steeler football, was watching them with block numbers. So looking, watching Juju in block numbers and looking online at all the different jerseys they're selling, Le'Veon in a block number, Ben in a block number, it does bring back some memories. I will be honest, I will likely buy one of these uniforms. I will likely buy a Steeler 70s throwback. I think it's cute that people are comparing these uniforms to Iowa and saying that the Steelers now, their throwbacks look like Iowa. Because growing up, it was always, the joke was the opposite, was that Iowa looks so much like the Steelers. How does Iowa get away with basically having the same uniform as the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now, of course, it has 20 years later of not having block numbers, of course, it has flipped itself around. So kind of funny in that way. Again, I like these uniforms. I like that we're going to go back to this. It's probably only going to be for a season or two. I can't imagine that they're going to use these uniforms for longer than that, being that they are not a drastic shift. And they're not even a drastic shift, not just from the uniforms we have today. They're not a drastic shift from the color rush that we've been wearing, right? I mean, the Steelers' color rush is also block numbers. It's all one color, but it's close enough. So the Steelers announced also that they will be wearing these 70s throwbacks week 8 against the Cleveland Browns. So we will see the Steelers in these throwbacks midseason, the home game against the Cleveland Browns. They're also going to wear a color rush this season. So they will, Art Rooney, and again, I don't know if this is an official, like NFL has said you are allowed to wear color rush, but Art Rooney said, we really like the color rush. We want to wear it. So we're going to wear it until the NFL tells us not to. No word yet on when the Steelers will wear the color rush uniform. They play the Panthers on a Thursday night game, but the Thursday night football is now with Fox, and Fox, I don't think, wants color rush on Thursday night. So we may start seeing color rushes, although who knows what's going to happen with color rush. I have to say, color rush as an experiment around the league, largely I think most of the uniforms have been bad to terrible, but the Steelers uniform I think is actually better. Actually, it's my favorite. To be honest, it's my favorite Steeler uniform. If we're talking about the 70s block numbers versus the rounded numbers of the 90s and modern era, and then, you know, now you've got the color rush. I think color rush is the best uniform the Steelers got. But so we'll see when they wear those. Likely, well, I guess I shouldn't say likely it's going to be against Carolina. Traditionally, it would have been against Carolina in the Thursday football game. But with Fox having it, I don't know. We'll see when the Steelers wear color rush. But week 8 against the Browns is when they'll be wearing these 70s throwbacks. All right, and then let's get to the main topic this evening. It's not a good one. You know, we're now halfway through OTAs. There's going to be, eight or 10 OTA practices total, and we're through 6. This is the part of the process that sucks. This is the part of the process that absolutely sucks. And OTAs are not a time when we're doing contact drills, and this is not live tackling, or they're not even wearing a lot of pads out there. And yet the Steelers now have 2 players out for the season as of today. Gerald Hawkins likely out for the year. They haven't officially announced that he is going to miss the season, but likely out for the season with a torn quad. And Gerald Hawkins, if you're not familiar with him, he's a 4th-round pick 2 years ago who sat out his entire rookie year with a shoulder injury and then came back last season, struggled a little bit to find his footing on the roster, eventually did get his spot on the active roster as Chris Hubbard took over at right tackle, and Hawkins got his spot as the swing tackle. There was a lot of anticipation this season about whether or not Gerald Hawkins could step up and be the Chris Hubbard replacement. I know we took Chuck Okorafor in the 3rd round this season, and so that will likely smooth over this Hawkins injury, but this sucks. This really sucks for Hawkins because, again, this is a second season now out of 3 that he's going to miss the entirety of it. He was hurt in the first preseason game of his rookie season and sat out the entire season with that shoulder injury, and now with a torn quad. And you know, I mean, that the shoulder injury comes in live football in a preseason game, and so it's bad luck, but, you know, okay, I mean, it happened during live football. This happens during a non-contact drill in OTAs. It's awful. This is awful. I hate this part of football. And so this is a player now whose dream of playing in the NFL, I don't want to say it's over for Gerald Hawkins. You can't put that on this guy, but boy, history does not bode well for players like this who have this many injuries this early in their career, and it's tough to watch. I mean, we talked about this earlier this week when we talked about Senquez Golson, right? You know, Senquez Golson, we were all so hyped for Senquez Golson to be the nickelback for this team forever, and he just couldn't stay healthy. And with Gerald Hawkins going out now, you got to wonder, he's going to go into his 4th year next year. It's going to be a contract year for him. You know, that'll be his make or break season, but he's going to be 2 years behind now as having sat out 2 years of his career with injury, and he's going to be a year behind Chuck Okorafor, who in all likelihood is going to be slotted into that spot as the swing tackle. And, you know, Chucks is a guy who was very raw coming out of college, and you know, the Steelers coaching staff and they made no qualms about it, right? That this is a guy who's extremely raw and there's a lot of work they have to do to Chucks, but they feel like they can get him there over time. That's now out the window, right? The Steelers, under Todd Haley's offense, liked to use six offensive linemen at times, especially when they wanted to get Le'Veon Bell going. You got to figure that's going to stay at least somewhat the same under Randy Feakner. So, yeah, I mean, Chucks Okorafor is going to get thrown right in there. And for a guy like Gerald Hawkins, who, you know, was ready to have his time in the spotlight, this is a terrible injury. And the other guy is tight end Jake McGee, who's also likely going to be out for the season, tore his Achilles at practice. And this is a guy who last year, you know, made some waves at training camp, and people felt like he might sneak into the practice squad or even sneak into the roster. He didn't make the roster, and so he's stuck around now and coming into his second season. I think a lot of people did feel like he was another guy. He was a guy who, now going into his second year, boy, he really could this year try to work his way and sneak his way into that third spot at tight end behind Vance McDonald and behind Jesse James. And for Jake McGee, it's just not, you know, it's not going to happen. He's out the year with a torn Achilles. And again, in a non-contact practice and out for the season, it's a tough one. This is a tough pill to swallow for both these guys. Look, I mean, you know, we're not losing huge starters, right? Neither of these guys were likely to be starters, but you hate to see this happen for the players. You know, their season is over now, and over so early, over in May. The season hasn't even largely started yet, right? We are at the beginning of the beginning, and these guys' season is over. It's a tough pill to swallow, no doubt about it. And for Hawkins and McGee, two guys who I thought, I mean, for Hawkins, he was a guaranteed roster spot. And McGee, I thought he had a decent shot of beating out Grimble, especially because the Steelers didn't really address tight end, right? It wasn't like the Steelers went out and said, we have to address this position and continue adding talent there. There was going to be a spot for McGee to work with and try to beat out a guy like Xavier Grimble, and that won't be the case now. So, tough to watch. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry. I'll be back tomorrow. We have to talk about the fact that none of the killer bees have been at OTAs. And, you know, I played that clip earlier this week about Antonio Brown and him telling Le'Veon, you got to show up. And then we find out today from an article on Ed Bouchette writes that AB only went to two practices and missed the last four. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger's absences tomorrow. I don't want to get too hot takey, but it is a little concerning to me that in a season like this, you know, these practices are optional, but are they optional? We'll talk about that tomorrow right here on Locked On Steelers.